Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yannis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. I appreciate everybody that bared with us yesterday and all the technical problems that we had. And, you know, you can do everything that you have to get your show going. And it was our first show back from Africa. And I tell you what, when the servers are down on the other end, there's not much you can do. We had a great interview anyway with Andy Irwin and with Jeff Strucker, and those were two good interviews, and we still got them recorded. The devil didn't stop us. We still were able to record the interviews and still play them at 2 o'clock on our second broadcast time that we have. And today, we have another great guest. We have Mr. Wallace Henley. Say hi to Wallace, everybody. And say hi, Wallace. How you doing, brother?
Man, I'm doing great, David. Thank you so much for having me, buddy.
Amen. Well, we're excited to have you. Like I was telling you before, we ran to a good friend of yours, Lee Short. He was on the station on Tuesday, and he just had nothing but great things to say about you. And we're excited to have a man of your caliber and faith with
us. Well, thank
on the
you,
show.
My friend, and I appreciate Lee's cutting-edge ministry. He goes to places that other people can't get to sometimes.
Amen. Amen. Now, for those that don't know of your brother, let them just have some information about you. Tell us about you, just who you are and what you do.
Well, I am a teaching pastor at Second Baptist Church here in Houston, Texas, and I've been on the staff here about 12 years. Prior to that, I was pastor of the Encourager Church in Houston, and long ago, when I was a young man, I was a newspaper reporter for the Birmingham News in Alabama and covered the Civil Rights Revolution and other things that were happening in those years. And then I became an aide to President Nixon at the White House and worked in the White House for 3 years. I've also served as a congressional chief of staff, acting chief of staff, and senior pastor for 25 years. And then, as I say, here for the last 12 years. And I've written a number of books. And my most recent is Globequake, which is published by Thomas Nelson.
Amen. Hey, so I think I remember you back in the 90s. You were with the Encourager Church, correct?
That is right, sir. I was pastor there for some 12 years.
Wow. Well, you know who was my mentor in ministry and missions was Dr. K.A. Paul.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're in a small circle here. Dr. Paul, I was with him for about 5 years. In fact, I think I drove him to your church. You know, Paul never drives. So I drove him to your church like four or five times at least.
So I know we met because I recognized your name when I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah. So what would be the thing that most readers would get from Globequake?
Well, the point of Globequake is that we are living in a period of unprecedented change. I've been alive on this planet for almost 71 years, and I've been studying global affairs and national affairs and church issues for all of those years, but I've never seen change more pervasive, more intense than we're living through right now. So I compared it to tectonic plate shift. Do you remember that theory that says way back there somewhere all of the continents were joined, and then through upheavals the continents began to separate and move across the planet, redefining the face of the world? And David, that's what we're living through right now, except now these tectonic plate shifts are spiritual, and they're moral, and they're political and economic, and impact families and churches and businesses and governments and education and all of these areas. And they're not shifting at just inches a decade or a century, but they're shifting at light speed. And we're riding on top of them, trying to hold ourselves together and our families and build those churches and strong schools and governments and businesses. And so Globequake tells people how to do that through the application of the principles of the kingdom of God.
Amen, amen. And that's greatly needed now because a lot of people are looking for answers out there. A lot.
Well, I tell you, brother, I believe God gave me this book. I think it is probably one of the most important books that people could read in this time outside the Bible, and I know that's a huge statement, but it takes the principles of the Bible and applies those principles in the here and now. How do we use the principles of God's eternal, unshakable kingdom to stabilize our lives, our families, our businesses, our churches, our schools, our governments on the principles of God's kingdom?
That's amazing. That's amazing. Now, how long did it take you to put this book together?
You know, brother, it started in 2009. Houston Baptist University Center for Christianity and Business asked me to do a conference, or gave me that opportunity, on global change in business. And so I formed a very high-level intellectual brain trust that began to research the issues of global change in business. And as we looked at this and as I went through the data, I realized, number one, that there's an answer, and that's in God's kingdom, answer for even for business people in God's kingdom. And then I began to see that it spread to all these, I call them spheres, using Paul's terminology in his letters to the Corinthians, places of authority, and places where the kingdom of God is lived out. So in all of the spheres, and I list six in the book: the sphere of person, the individual, the sphere of family, of church, of family, education, government, and business. All of these spheres are places where the kingdom of God needs to be lived out and the principles applied.
So how much of today's activities recently, how much of that is just pointing towards the end times for us, brother? Because I love if I could just say your title, Global Quake, and I love this part of it, living in the unshakable kingdom while the world falls apart. That's amazing.
Yes, and well, there's a chapter where I talk about nine apocalyptic trends that are for the first time possible on the global scale. For example, the book of Revelation talks about the collapse of the global economy in 1 hour of time. And if you think through history, that has never been possible historically at any other point in history, because it would take months and months and months to carry trade across the world, for example. But now we can move trillions of dollars in less than a second. And when you think about the interconnectedness of the global economy, it is now possible for that prophecy of Revelation to come true. There's another trend that's apocalyptic, and that is the apostasy in many parts of the church, which is amazing. When you think about denominations that once were firmly established on God's Word, that are completely leaving the authority of the Word and embracing and supporting lifestyles and other practices that are completely contrary to Scripture. And we're seeing this on an unprecedented level. At the same time, we're seeing the fulfillment of Matthew 24:14. Jesus said this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the people groups, and then the end, the telos, that's the Greek word for end, which means purpose. The purpose of all things will come. And we're seeing the gospel preached in all of the world. You yourself have in your ministry over just a few years, you reach some 4 million people. That's amazing to me. I was on TBN this week, last night in fact, and I was looking into that camera, aware of the fact that 90 million people across the world were watching. My wife and I watch a website that just gives a number, and has a map of the world, and it shows every time somebody receives Christ, a little light pops up.
Awesome.
And 35,000 an hour, man. So what God is doing through you, David, and through people like you, that is part of the fulfillment of Jesus' great prophecy in Matthew 24:14. That's happening right now because of the internet, and it's never happened before at that scale.
Amen. Amen. Now, when we look at the people that are out there that are producing books and stuff, now this is a fictional book?
This is a book that was paperback form, mm-hmm. but it's also available on the internet.
It's fictional, but using
it's not fictional. Okay. I'm sorry, I misunderstood. It's not fictional. It's very practical. It's like a manual. If you get a new car, you get an operator's manual. Well, GlobeQuake is an operator's manual for people living in this very troubling time.
Mm. So what have some of the people that have read it? What have they said about the book?
Well, it's interesting that you would ask me that. I just got a call from a pastor in Brooklyn, New York, a Jewish man who many years ago came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the book for those readers provides such a practical tool. We have a number of endorsers for the book. They range from Cal Thomas, the nationally known commentator, and to a friend of mine down in Florida, Simon Bailey, who is one of the top motivational speakers in America, and all kinds of people in between, a Chinese businessman, an Australian businessman, and across the world, people are responding to this book, and they're telling about how God is using the book to give them practical advice. So many of the books written about our times just wave the flag and bring kind of fear and hysteria. But GlobeQuake gives, number one, practical advice, and it concludes on the note of hope. See, I know things are going to get worse, and so do you. The Bible tells us that. So all we do is we walk around with this dread, oh, things are going to get worse, worse, worse. But I remind people that the prophet Isaiah said, those who walk in darkness will see a great light, or those who dwell in darkness will see a great light. The deeper the darkness, the brighter the light. Mm. And it's in the periods like we're going through now that our testimony is established. Our testimonies are not established in the good times. Our testimonies are established in the dark times. That's when we say, ah, God showed up in that darkness. God stabilized my life in that time of great shaking. And the book of Revelation says that we overcome by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So without times like this, we have no real testimony. A testimony is what I used to do as a newspaper reporter. It's a report. It's a witness. You simply tell what you've experienced. Well, if I've not had times where I've experienced the presence of God as light in my darkness, or the presence of God as stability in my shaking, then my testimony is not strong. And so this is a great time to live in, brother.
You know, I love the idea that this is a manual. It's powerful, because there is a lot of questions out there that ministers are having to face that normally we never had to face those before. And then we all go straight to the Bible, which we should, but yes, we need something more of someone that has revelation in the matter. And you working through the Nixon at that time, you see that the operations of the government, but then you also, man of faith, have been pastoring people for years. You know the hurt and the need of the sheep, and then God is giving you revelation on this. I think that's awesome.
Well, I tell you, brother, you're exactly right. I am sitting as a pastor, and I've been doing this for many, many years now, and I see people in my office every single week, but I've never seen the kind of issues that I'm dealing with now. In the past, it was things like drinking. Yes, that was a problem, and immorality. But it was almost always heterosexual immorality. But now, the span and the degree and the intensity is more than I've ever seen in all of these years of serving as a pastor.
So you've actually seen just the attack of the enemy grow stronger, haven't you?
Absolutely. And the powers of darkness love emptiness. They love empty places. Jesus talks about this. He says talks about that person who was rid of a demon. A demon came out of that person, but they didn't put anything there, and their condition after that was seven times worse, because the powers of darkness look for empty places. And the more the world becomes desert-like in spiritually, It becomes a vast desert spiritually as people, number one, either deny God or they twist the idea of God through all kinds of weird spirituality. They begin to worship demons without even knowing they're worshiping demons, and the world becomes more and more barren, and the emptier it is, the more the powers of darkness can move in. And so this is a time when God's remnant has to be very, very strong. In Isaiah and other passages, it talks about the remnant the remnant people, the faithful people who put the roots downward and bear fruit upward. My wife and I were in Europe a few weeks ago, just a very few weeks ago, I think the end of May and June, and we were doing Globequake leadership conferences for African churches in Europe. Get that now. And it was through a network that I used to work with, or and still do sometimes, in the Ivory Coast, on the which is West Africa, and in the DNA of these wonderful people from that great church, wherever they go in the world, whatever job they're doing, they plant the church. And so I was working with churches in Paris and Copenhagen, my wife and I, and one of the pastors said to me, and this was amazing, he said of Europe, "It is so dark here." Mm. Well, that just struck me, because in the 19th and 20th centuries, it was Europe that called Africa the dark continent. And now African believers, followers of Jesus, are calling Europe the dark continent. And they're planting those churches, and those churches are points of tremendous light. And it's not just Africans, but it's Indonesians in Holland and Indian and Asian people in Great Britain. We talk about the spread of Islam into Europe, but the great story, the great untold story, is what I call the reverse missions. These people from other parts of the world, from the global south, from Africa, and even Latin America, from India, from Korea and China, who are coming back into Europe and even into America as reverse missionaries. You see, the West sent missionaries into their countries, but now the fruit of those missions coming back into the West now, which is leaving the Lord, but they're bringing Christ to us. They're bringing the gospel to us, and it's an amazing and wonderful reversal.
Amen. Amen. And I like the way that as we're going out, and when I was in Africa this last 2 weeks ago, I was out there, and there's so many people hungry. The people that are working are hungry. They want to be taught more. I couldn't teach them enough. And you just just wish that you see that, and they're growing, and they're praying for America. They're praying for the UK. They're like, man, those places need God. I ran into another individual. I was out there from Amsterdam, and he's like, man, it's hard to preach. Uh-huh. There's not many open places for you to preach in Amsterdam.
That's right, brother. That's right. Well, God has given my wife and me a real heart for Europe. And we go there as often as we can to minister, because it is the world's most difficult mission field at this point in history. But you know, David, you go out across the world, Lee Short, other people that you talk to, and I think all of us would agree that there is a type of church, the authentic church that we see out there. And in the Globequake book, I write about this authentic church that just keeps standing no matter how intense the shaking. And it has four characteristics. Number one, it's Jesus-centered. It understands that it is the body of Christ. It is the means by which Jesus continues his incarnational ministry in the world today. Number two, it is spirit-energized. It cannot rely on the flesh, the works of the flesh, the best of programming and all the things that we do. They're totally inadequate. Amen. We recognize that here at Second Baptist Church. We have 60,000 members and a budget of $50 million a year, and we can do all kinds of productions and all kinds of things, but Dr. Young, our pastor, reminds us constantly that none of it makes any difference if the Spirit of God does not enter in and bring transformation to people's lives. We can attract people, but we cannot transform them. Only the power of God can do that. And number three, these churches are word anchored. They're anchored in the authority of God's word. And I don't care what spiritual fad passes through, these churches are not going to embrace the fads. They're going to stay with the Word. If the culture says that you can marry your dog, and there'll be denominations that will embrace that, oh, that's wonderful. But the church that is Jesus-centered, Spirit-energized, and Word-anchored will not be carried by those waves of doctrine. And number four, that church is kingdom envisioning. It sees the ministry of the kingdom of God and knows that the kingdom of God is not shut up in the church walls. It flows out from the church. The church is at the headwaters of culture. But the kingdom of God is lived out in our families. It's lived out in our schools. It's lived out in our governments. It's lived out in our businesses. Those are to be the arenas of God's advance in the world. So I'm excited about that kind of church and want to do everything I can to help that kind of church grow and prosper.
Amen. Now that's pretty powerful. That's really strong. Tell us about how it was serving with Nixon. So I'm sure a few people want to hear a little bit about that.
Well, I tell people that I was a novice. I was 29 years old when I went to Nixon's staff. I wrote a book called The White House Mystique to try to describe that. That was many years ago, 1976, after I left there. And the impact of just the White House itself, I talk about the White House warp. If you think about the way light comes into the world, it comes through a prism, and the prism bends and bends the light, and it makes it beautiful. But in the White House, that warp bends the truth, and you really are living in this place of distortion, where you think that you know everything, but in the warp of power, you don't really see the world as it is. I used to be sent out. I was on the speaking team, and I would be sent out to speak on behalf of the president around the country. And because I was a low-level staffer, I was not sent to New York and places like that. I was sent to Carlsbad, New Mexico, and Salt Lake City, and Milwaukee. And I'd come back from those trips, and I would say to people in the White House, you guys don't know what people are saying. You don't know what they're thinking. You don't ever leave this compound. You don't ever leave the Secret Service and the guards that guard us all day long. And so you're not hearing the people. I learned in the White House that power is the fundamental temptation. We say, what is the fundamental temptation? Well, it must be sex. It must be money. No, it's power. And all of those other things derive from that. Power to seize our lives from God. And this was what Satan used to tempt Eve. He said, take power over your life. Has God really said this? Why don't you take power over your life? And this has always been the nature of the basic nature of sin. Well, where's the greatest concentration of power? It's there in the White House. And so the demonic will always cluster around places of great power. And so we need to recognize what is going on there. Billy Graham said to me one time, he said, Wallace, every time I enter this place, I feel a presence, an alien presence. Well, it's that clustering of the demonic that distorts power and causes it to be used for purposes other than what God intended.
Mm. So even when a person has good intentions, good heart, they go in there, it still can be corrupted just because...
Exactly. If they don't have a strong spiritual foundation, then they're going to be taken away. Look at Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was raised in a Baptist church, just like the kind of church I'm serving in. He was raised in that church, but he did not... And he had the head knowledge, but he had not embraced it in his heart. And because of that, he brought great dishonor to the Oval Office through immorality. Look at Nixon. Nixon was raised a Quaker and had pretty strong foundations as a Quaker. One day, I was asked to escort Oral Roberts in for a visit with the president, and it was just the three of us in the room. And at the end of the conversation, Oral Roberts said, Mr. President, I want to pray for you, and then I want you to pray for me. And I was very, you know, kind of concerned because my job was to write the president's conversation, and I had not written the president a prayer. And we stood in the middle of the Oval Office, and Oral said, I want us to hold hands, and he reached out and took Nixon's hand and reached out and took my hand, and I reached out my hand for Nixon, but he wouldn't take my hand. And he prayed a prayer But and I thought, well, this is a man who's heard the language, he knows the language, but again, it was not embracing it in his heart. And so when these guys come into the White House, whether it's Richard Nixon or Bill Clinton or Mitt Romney or Barack Obama, if it is not in their heart and if they don't understand that, the demons overwhelm them and overwhelm the country through them.
And that explains a lot. That's
happening
right
now. It explains everything, brother.
It explains everything. Explains everything, absolutely.
Not many people want to hear that message, and so I don't get to give it very often.
Oh, I love it. I love it. My pastor wrote a book called Jesus of Nazareth, Socialist or Capitalist.
Oh, wow.
And I will get you a copy. I'll get your address.
Please do. I would love that.
And then, because he wrote that, and he just said, I need to get this out. People need to hear the message. They need to. People need to be aware of what's going on. So,
that's right, David. And thank you for what you do to get that message out, brother.
Amen, brother. Well, I appreciate that. Well, tell everybody how they can get your book, brother.
The book is available everywhere. It's available on Amazon, ChristianBooks.com, Mardell, all the online places, plus bookstores everywhere. It's published by Thomas Nelson, the world's largest religious publisher. It's called Globequake, Living in the Unshakable Kingdom While the World Falls Apart. People can go to my website, Wallace Henley, that's all one word, WallaceHenley.com, and they can buy the book there as well.
Amen, amen. We appreciate you being on the show with us, and anytime you want to come back, even just to talk about anything, you're more than welcome to be on there. We're actually starting a kind of a political show called The Dump.
Well, listen, brother, you call me too, and feel free to do that anytime.
All right. Thank you, brother. I appreciate your time. And tell Ed we said hi.
I'll do it. What a joy. Thank you.
It's great reconnecting with you. And I love your preaching. I do.
Keep going, buddy.
All right. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you, man. Thank you.
Bye-bye. And that was Mr. Wallace Henley. And he is a senior teaching pastor at Second Baptist Church, which is a huge church with Dr. Ed Young and just a great man of God. I've known him from the Encourager Church, but didn't really put the name together. Sometimes I get these interviews, and I just look at the name, look at the notes, and do some research. But it didn't dawn on me, because that was quite some time ago for me even. And just to say that it was good. You know, it was just good to speak with him again and reconnect. And Global Quake, Living in the Unshakable Kingdom While the World Falls Apart. Well, you hear this man's heart, and you know me. You know what I do on the show, and that is to get people to talk about who they are and open their heart to you. You know, because we want you to get the book, definitely. We want you to be a blessing to them as well. But we want you to understand the man and message that they have. And I think we did that. So anyway, my friends, we'll be right back, and we'll take a quick break, and, well, 5 minutes is not pretty quick, but we will be back, and we'll be able to talk about other things and try and touch a little bit on Africa and the great things that happen. Again, Wallace Henley, go to wallacehenley.com. That's wallacehenley.com, and you can purchase his book. We'll be right back in just a few minutes.
This is David Yanez with Rev Media Network. Just want to take a couple of minutes to talk to you about Second Look at Sports and a 60-second look at sports with Dr. Dwight Allen. These programs have been broadcasting with us for about a year now. We broadcast the 30-minute programs, the Second Look at Sports, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 4 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. And I tell you, they have been a part of a huge afternoon growth from 3 to 5 p.m. that has been a blessing to see on the stats. We've seen these numbers just growing. We have a lot of listeners listening between those time slots, and it's a huge blessing to see that these shows are touching people. Now, a 60-second look at sports has been used on our music channel, our sermon channel, our talk radio channel. These three channels broadcast 24/7, and we have these 60-second slots that we throw them in throughout the day. So almost after every show and after almost every broadcast that we have, even other commercials, you'll hear Dr. Dwight Allen, and you hear some old 60-second look at sports, and you hear the current ones, and we just mix them up and throughout all the channels that we have on the station. And it's a blessing, because we're seeing people touched, and being a sports fan that I am, and just being an athlete, I love hearing these stars, these athletes, these coaches, people just talking about Jesus, just talking about the things that God is doing in them life. So it's a blessing to see this type of shows put together. I know there's a lot of work in it. There's a lot of quality in it, because I tell you what, we've had over 745,000 people visit our site in the last month alone. And I believe that a part of that growth, and a big part of that growth, is the quality that these programs like a 60-second look at sports and a second look at sports have brought to our broadcasting station. So I want to tell you, Dr. Dwight Allen is doing a great, great job. We here at the station, we call him Coach just because of all the sports things that he does. And I tell you, he is a blessing to us, and it's a privilege to be broadcasting his programs, but also to be partnering with him in ministry and just seeing the people of God being touched. People all over the world are hearing these programs on our station, and I believe that they're just being blessed with it. God bless you. Thank you so much. Listen to a 60-second look at sports, a second look at sports throughout our broadcasting station at revmedianetwork.com. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
Who or what is to blame for the incredible youth crisis in America today, and how can we fix it? Hi, I'm Trace Embry with Shepherd's Hill Farm with a hard word. I would take issue with the fact that we actually have a youth crisis today, although our youth are surely suffering. Any youth crisis we have is a result of a greater parent crisis, which is an outworking of a greater cultural crisis, which is a byproduct of an even more significant church crisis. 2 Chronicles 7:14 seems to indicate, until we, God's people, can get our act together, we can't expect our land to be healed. When our culture no longer puts a premium on stuff and self, when we quit being a nation of style over substance, our land can heal. God, family, and a return to a premium on moral character will then fill the void. This will produce more good and godly parents, who will then produce more good and godly youth.
Trace is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Farm, a Christ-centered and biblically-based program serving at-risk teens. Watch our video and learn more at shfteens.org.
When the lowly babe of Bethlehem was born 2,000 years ago, there was no room for him in the inn. He was considered a threat to freedom. As Freud would say, a source of guilt and pathologies. Sure enough, after 300 years he did conquer. Armenia became the first Christian nation-state, and then Rome was converted. Then, only 400 years ago, the man of Galilee came to America with the Puritans and laid the foundation for the greatest nation the world has ever known. But the enemies of God's law are still gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed king, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast their cords from us." God's law is too binding. It's a threat to our freedom. At Church of the King, we say with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love thy law." At Church of the King, we believe it is the truth that really sets men free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. ChurchOfTheKingMacAllen.org. Call toll-free 866-449-KING.
Colossians chapter 3 verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." Can you imagine Jesus saying to his disciples, "Now listen, be careful not to give 100% when you serve me"? No, of course you can't. Surely, when we serve the Lord, we want to give him 110%. Apparently, the reason for my recent heart attack was because I had been overcommitted to serving the Lord. True, there has to be a balance between work and rest, and therein lies the secret to good health. When we work hard, we must also rest hard. We must have a day off when we do not do anything that we would normally do when we are working. There is another element that should not be ignored, that of exercise. If we work hard and rest hard, we must also play hard. The harder we work, the harder we should rest and play, making a commitment to give 100% in each area.
Economically, spiritually, and morally, America is in a state of emergency, but you can make a difference because prayer changes things. Join us this September on the 28th and 29th in Philadelphia for a solemn assembly at Independence Mall, and let your voice be heard as multitudes gather to turn to our only hope for transformation, America for Jesus 2012. Register online today at americaforjesus2012.org.
You've been listening to RevMediaNetwork.com, where the most influential ministers and Christian talk show hosts are brought to you daily 24/7 on your online connection.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanis, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. A really special guest, a man of high caliber and faith, 71-year-old Wallace Henley. And I don't say his age to say anything, but this man is seasoned. When he was teaching, could you believe just the, you got to get this book, Global Quake. You have to get it. Excuse me. I'm so excited. I was drinking some water, almost choked there. But anyway, just the teaching in that 25-minute interview, he opened up so much revelation that I'm glad I got my copy. In fact, we got, that they believe we have three copies to give away. If you want to send us an email and tell me at david@revmedianetwork.com, david@revmedianetwork.com, I want Wallace's book. That is what you need to put. I want Wallace's book, and include your mailing address and everything, and I will definitely get you the book in your hand. So if you can do that, I appreciate it. And I'm going to let me open up the chat tangle. Let's see if anyone's actually out there listening today. We're going to open up the chat tangle right now, and if that's our chat site, and we will see if you're out there. And if you're out there and you want the book, just chat with me, and I'll put the email on the book on the chat spot for you, and you can give us an email. So we're here, pop-up windows up, and let's see if anyone's out there and what they're doing and stuff. Well, first of all, before we go any further into the show, usually if you've noticed some changes to the broadcast, Trace Embry is usually on at this time, and we have taken the slot because of our show moving to 11 o'clock, and just things start to change, and you have to go with it. Excuse me. But now we're going to be broadcasting Trace at 10:30, and we're going to see how things work with that. So either way, my friends, you're going to hear Trace, and you're not going to miss License to Parents. No way. You may have to tune in an hour later, or you may have to tune in directly after this show, but you will hear the edition of Trace Embry's show, License to Parent, in its entirety right after this show today. And next week it'll be at 10:30. It just depends when we're ready and when we get here. I got to get here a little earlier to make sure that show is playing. Usually that show plays, and we're able to put that on from wherever we're at, but because I'm traveling to the station during the time, and I just have so many things to try to get done. But anyway, I want to let you know that, and I want to let you know of another schedule change. Watchmen at night, 8 to 10 on Tuesday and Thursday nights, and then also from 9 to 10:30, we are no longer carrying the broadcast, and it really saddens me. And it saddens my friend, too, but they had to make some changes on their end, which led them to use Ustream and to use their streaming and stuff, so we can't pick up the stream. It was a good move for them. You know, there was a season with us with them, and we loved it, and if we can add them in still, those slots are still available. So I just want you to know that if you're looking for Watchmen, you still need to go to Blogspot to listen to him. And he has been a blessing. I mean, he was with me from the beginning, him and Charles. And you know, God has those seasons where you just work with some people and you do things, and then it just happened that it was all of a sudden, but I've been feeling it, and he obviously been feeling he needed to break off to do something different with his ministry, and that is fine. That is fine. We're just appreciative, really, just appreciative that he helped get us off the ground. He did. If we did not have Watchmen, if we did not have Dana just constantly plugging away, we would not have gotten the audience that we have. And to all the Watchmen listeners, to everyone that listens to Watchmen's broadcasting, you know, we love them so much. So just know that. And I appreciate you coming. I pray that you continue to come to our station, even if it's not the 8 and 10 hour, that you still come in and you still listen, because we love Dana. We love everyone that works at the show. We love Watchmen. We love Tower. we love them all. And we're just excited about it that they can go on to good things as well. And it's just a stream thing, and because we're both IPT platforms, we own Rev Media TV, we cannot put Ustream on our site. So either way, and I know that we're it was more of a technical issue than anything in their equipment thing. So it was nothing to do with us or nothing to do with them. It was a clean break, and we love him, and we're just going to continue to bless him. We'll still play his old shows on the station. There's nothing wrong with that as well. And I may even download some recent ones and throw them on the show, on the station to play. So we're just excited that God is opening some new doors for him as well. And, well, that's that. And just want to let you know the couple of changes of programs. And then also to remind you that Thrive is on Tuesdays at 9 Eastern Time. So that would be 8 Central Standard Time. And you will be able to listen to them and hear their broadcast with Mary Nicholson. And she is awesome. She is very awesome. And I don't see anyone put any messages out. But if you do, there's a chat window in the underneath. If you're listening to Rev Media Network, there's a chat window underneath your player, and it's right there, and you can chat with us back and forth. Let us know what you're thinking, and be a blessing, and we'll get you that copy of Global Quake too. These are giveaways. They're free, and I'm sure you're going to be blessed. I only have 3 copies that are left. Already given a couple away. So I had 5 copies. I've given 3. Of course, I got one at the ICRS as well, And I may have a little bit more, but I have to check. But anyway, for sure I can commit to 3 of them to give away to you. So anyway, I hope that helps you. And, you know, Africa was a nice trip. Africa was a great trip. We enjoyed ourselves. We've seen many things happen. And it was more of a trip to visit and view the things. It wasn't as much ministering as I'd wish. But we did talk to about 5,000 kids and ministered to them. And we did have a leaders conference with a few locations that we did, and it was good. It was good. And the whole time, I tell you what, and I may have shared this the other day, but the whole time that the guy was doing this, I could hear him saying, "I'm trying to give you something. Shut up. Be quiet. Don't say nothing. I'm trying to give you something." You know, how many of us get ourselves in trouble because of how we talk and what we say and what we do? And God knows all the capabilities. God knows. I had a sermon the other day. God knows what you're capable of. Amen? God knows your promise. God knows your potential. God knows your ability. He does. And when you let that ability get in the way sometimes of what God is trying to do, maybe it's not how you like to do things. Maybe it's not what you want to be doing at that time. Maybe it's not where you want to be at that exact time. It doesn't matter where you want to be, what you want to do, and how you want to do it. It matters what God wants to be done. And when you just humble yourself, listen to the Spirit of God, let him operate. And I did. I obeyed. I just let God just do the things that he wanted to do with me. I had to hold myself back because I'm used to getting off the plane in India and just preaching and ministering, and I see the results. I see people getting healed. I see deliverance happening. I see the Word of God changing people's lives. And Africa was completely different. And it was okay because at the end of the trip, the ministry invited me back to be a part of their large conference in December. And I will be. I will be there in December. So God opened that door. And because of the faithfulness, God opened one more door today. He did. Because I was faithful. And you got to understand, my pastor's been going there for 14 years, 9 trips in 14 years. And this trip was the roughest. And he was basically saying, "I'm going to limit myself, but I want you on trips coming here, but I want you to continue it and to keep building it for me if you want, if God puts it in your heart." And it was pretty much like a handing off of the ministry reins in that area to say, "Just go with it. Run with it, son." And you know what? I share this all the time, and I have to share it now because it kind of just comes into the subject anyway. You know a minister that you're working with, and when I'm working with him, I'm actually under him at the church as well. And my ministry is independent. It runs on its own, but in a way, it still references the church that we operate out of. I mean, we stick with them, and no matter what. You know someone loves you and loves your family and loves your ministry is when they want to see you go further than they did. You hear me? Further than they went. Stronger than they were, prayerfully more than they did. That is when a person has true love. What did Jesus say? "These things you would do more, greater things than I." He loved us so much. He just didn't want to be Jesus and did all this. He wanted us to do more and greater things. True love will always want to see someone succeed, always want to build them up, always want good things in their life. And I'm not speaking of some nice, precious, beautiful gospel. I'm talking about truth. I'm talking about God wanting good things in your life. I'm talking about God wanting to have you winning life and not losing life. And okay, Wallace started this. He started preaching. Wallace, if you're still listening, you're the one that started preaching and you got me going. I try not preach too much when I'm on the show, but today is a preaching show. You got the teaching and preaching of Wallace Henley, the first segment, and you got Reverend David Yanez, Dr. Dave, whatever you want to call me. Just call me Dave. And you've got me here on this thing. But what I'm trying to say, my friends, is that God is able to use situations that you're not comfortable with, and I'm talking about your flesh and your motives, and he's able to take that and do something good with it. And about that opportunity, I'm going to mention it on the air right now. We have committed to be in Russia at the end of September and the beginning of October, and that is going to be a miracle trip because I just got back from Kenya, and I just can't go out right away. They wanted me now. I said, I just can't. I just got home. I got to spend time with my family. But God will honor that. And it takes me a little bit longer to get a Russian visa than it does in any other country. So, I mean, it's one of the most difficult times to get one of those. It takes about 3 weeks to get it, from what I understand. I need that time to do that and get the ticket paid for. So, hey, you want to support me to go to Russia? Because I need some support to go there too. But God is able. The moment they told me, I tell them, this is how I operate. And I'm just going to give you some faith knowledge for you. I call it faith knowledge because it's something that I had to learn through faith. And this is something that is true. I had to let them know that I operate good on the calendar dates. Give me a date. Let's put that date on the calendar. Let's look at it and see it. And then now I have a deadline. And now I know from that date when I need to have my ticket paid for, when I have to have my visa, when I have to get all this stuff taken care of and raise the funds. So we put the date. This is going to be the quickest ever thing that we had to put together. And I still got to go to India and to Africa at the end of November. I'm really feeling that's going to go December and then finish up in India and come back. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes and what God does. But I know that God is in this thing. And because of I really wanted to go to Russia. I did, but I didn't hear back from the guy. So God opened the door to go through Kenya. And I really didn't want to have to go to Kenya. I really didn't feel it. I didn't know it. I just know that my pastor needed me to go with him. And I agreed. And it was a good thing. Pastor was pretty sick physically. The first couple of days we were there, and he was gaining his strength back, and he had a hard trip, and I was pretty much his assistant, just like I would serve Dr. Paul. I'd serve Pastor. I just helped him, grabbed his bags, made sure he had something to drink all the time, went to the stores, let him stay at the hotel, and I took care of everything for him and made the phone calls and went online and checked on everybody, let them know we were there. So I really served him in that capacity, and I know he noticed that, and I know that he appreciated that. So just saying that, my friends, another door is open, which is Russia. And we really need you to think about helping us out on that one. And I really pray that you continue to be a blessing and that you are continually blessed with our broadcast and those changes that we had to make on broadcasting. Well, it's part of broadcasting, and there's time slots that got to be moved around, and you're not able to serve and take care of everybody, even though I would love to take care of everybody. It's not the time to do that. And keep us in prayer. We are doing a lot of different things, and our station went out yesterday for a few hours because we didn't know that the signals were down. And we start the streamers. They're all running when we finished up for the day. We checked them at night as we usually do, and then in the morning they were still running. There was no question that they were on. But then when I started to broadcast yesterday, there was no server to go to. The server detached. So we had to get that fixed, and which only takes a few minutes, but you got to wait till it reboots it and stuff. But you know what? We got the shows done anyway. You know, they weren't at the par of broadcasting that I wanted. They weren't. But one thing for sure was they were good shows. They were good segments, and the guests were treated well. And there were good questions for them. And that's just, you just go with it. You know, when life throws you a curveball, you just try and hit that curveball and just make contact with it. You may not get it out of the park, but you just go ahead and make some contact and see what happens. And, well, yesterday we made some contact with that curveball. And we didn't hit it out of the park, but we were able to get the things done that we needed to do. And that's where you just leave it with God. You let God be the one that does it. He just wants your faith. He wants you to, even in adversity, to try something. To do something, to change things, to move around, to do something different. And at times you don't know that you could. You don't know that you just want to stay there, not and just be completely surrounded and almost feeling suffocating at times. But you know, and I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to someone. But God can use these moments to make it and be a life changer right there for you. I really appreciate everyone that's been tuning in, and I just need to tell you this. I looked at our website stats on the on Almost Out of Grace. I was looking at a Rev Media Network, and we're still at the same place. We're about 20,000 people that are on the station every day. And I tell you what, but I looked at Almost Out of Grace, my book, and I looked at it real quick just to see how, because it starts with A, so it's at the top. You know, that's not too hard. And so I went ahead and looked at it, and then I was shocked. You know, my normal people coming to the site, maybe 1,500, maybe 500, not that many people going to the site, but after the ICRS, that thing has been lit up like a Christmas tree, my friends. 35,000 people in just August alone, and we're only midway through August, have been to that site. So I'm expecting God to do some great things with that book, because God knows that it's a good book. In fact, people, there's a couple of sample chapters on there, and people have enjoyed the sample chapters. They've enjoyed the way it reads. They've enjoyed the flow of it. They've enjoyed reading it. And that is powerful. To me, that is important. And one comment just said, "Brother, keep on writing. I love it." The other comment said, "Almost Out of Grace is one of my favorite sites. I have it saved on my favorites." And they asked to add video, so I'm going to do that too. So for those that have been listening, those that have been going to that site, I'm going to do my best to make that a good relationship site for you and see what God does with it. And we'll see what happens. Well, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas 77325. You can email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. And again, we had Wallace Henley earlier talking about Global Quake, his book, Living in the Unshakable Kingdom, While the World Falls Apart. It's amazing that he has 20 books out there. Can you believe that? 20 books. Oh, man, I just wrote two. And that took up all the time that I had extra. And I'm working on a few other things. And we're going to see some other things happening in faith. It's just amazing. Yesterday's show, we weren't able to go live with it, but we did broadcast it again. And one of the things that you need to take from it is that just learn what you want to do for God. And I asked Andy Irwin this question yesterday, and I said, for those that are, you know, aspiring authors that, and or filmmakers, for those that want to make movies, what would your words be? Because I told him, I want to take out the camera and start shooting a movie after talking to him. He just was so excited about it. And he said that his thing that he would tell people that want to make movies is just to start mastering the craft. Learn it. Learn the craft. Anything you do well, anything you do for the rest of your life or that you want to do for God, you need to master it. You need to understand it. You need to become a good person at that craft, and then God will open those doors, and it'll come to reality. So that spoke to me, friends, because I've been mastering this craft of movie making for years, and now we're going to be there. I declare in faith, in agreement with my listeners right now, that we will put a movie together. Within the next year, we will put something together. At least put it out there and see what happens, because God is awesome, and he's an awesome God, and he's able to believe it. And he's able to do whatever we can believe. And I truly trust God in that. So, in fact, when I was in Africa, God inspired me to start writing a story, a movie script. And I've been working on it. And it's funny, when I'm out of the country, I can write like crazy. But when I get home, I just have nothing to go with. So maybe I'm going to be like one of those Ernest Hemingway things. Well, sorry, dear. I got to go to the Stanley in Nairobi so I can get inspired to write. The Stanley in Nairobi, I passed it. It's huge. It's beautiful. It's old as well, but it's historic. It's where Ernest Hemingway used to go to do his writing. So I can see him with his Cubans, cigars, probably his scotch, and just writing away. Typing, getting ideas, and there was such an opening in writing when I was there. I don't know what it was. Maybe that's it. I have no idea. And I'm sure if I just sit down and start knocking out things, I could probably do it here, but it did flow better. I'm going to be honest. Ideas just kept flooding in when I was there, and I just kept going with the ideas, writing the ideas, got the inspiration. you just never know where God's going to use you. And that just was a lesson for me. And maybe when I go on these mission trips, that's when I'll be writing. That's when I'll be putting together things and do all my writing on these 8-hour, 12-hour flights. We get two legs here and there and get some things done. Whoever knows, whatever knows, blah, blah, blah. God has it all under control. I want to keep some friends of mine in prayer and just pray for them as they transition with their church and just to see things happen for them, their family members. And I just want you to keep them in prayer. In fact, we're going to do a short prayer for them right now. And for anyone that else that is transitioning out there in ministry and trying to move things and make things happen. And, God is a God that wants to see you go forward. So don't ever think that a bump or a detour or a dead stop is end and that you got to turn back to square one. No, God has a trip, a road trip for your faith and for your ministry. He's going to do something powerful for it. He's going to make something happen. When you get there, you're going to look back and say, wow, I'm glad these detours and these road bumps happened because it made me who I am today in faith. And I gained knowledge in faith by going through them. So let's pray for them. Father, we lift up our friends and family, Father, that are going through these transitions. We pray that you give them direction. Pray that you give them the insight to get in the will of God done in their lives, Father. Let them yield to the Spirit of God. Let them put their mind and heart and soul just in your hands of trust. Let them understand that your plans are so much better than our plans, that your ways are so much better than our ways. And let them just completely surrender to the will of God. And Father, I pray blessings upon their lives this minute, that you will encourage them with the gifts. Just as in the Word of God, when Paul said, "Thank you for remembering me," when they sent them a gift, Father, I pray that they would all feel that rejuvenation in their spirit when people start giving outside their normal giving box. I pray for blessings and anointing in their life, Father. Bless them in their new place of worship. Bless them in their new place of activity, because there's a new work for them. There's a new work for them, Father, that they will be able to take the existing group of people and create this new work. We believe it and we receive it, and we ask for prosperity and blessings and health in their life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we say amen. Amen. Do you know that the other day I was at my wife's graduation? Congratulations to my sweetie. She graduated from the respiratory therapist at Lone Star College. And, of course, she already has a degree, and she got this other one to add in there, and she wants to do some medical things. So whatever she wants, amen. You know, it'll be a blessing to us in our ministry, but also just so she's happy doing what she does, and it helps take care of things at the ministry at the house as well. When she's working, it's good. But what I was going to say was they asked me to do the convocation prayer, and I've never done one before, so my wife looked it up, gave it to me, and I just kind of read whatever was there. And I was like, oh, okay, that sounds okay. So anyway, when I sat there, when I was ready to go forward, when I was ready to pray the prayer, I read this scripture. And of course, you know, it was Respiratory Club. And in other words, that was the group of people that work in the respiratory, that worked with the lungs, that work with any type of the respiratory system. And they were just wondering what I was going to say. And I took them to Genesis. And when I took them to Genesis, was it 2:7? And that God formed man and breathed life in his nostrils, and he began to live. And I'm paraphrasing it, but that's what I did. And as soon as I did that, I tell you what, everybody, I go, so I read that scripture. I went up to introduce myself, said congratulations to everybody, read the scripture, and then I went to Genesis and read that scripture to them, and they were just amazed. They were just amazed that when I read that, I said, and see, from the beginning, and this is me just joking around with them, from the beginning, the respiratory therapist has been there from the beginning. Respiratory has been important to God, and what y'all do is important to him as well. And this is a very mixed culture place. Now I'm just going in there with the authority of God and just referencing God Almighty as the creator of man. And you got different types of religions in there. It was quiet. Everybody on the actual platform cracked up laughing. And then I did the prayer. It was a beautiful prayer. And people love how I pray. I love to pray. And I prayed, and it was wonderful. And then at the end, I just made sure an exclamation point was put on it, my friends. I said, in the mighty, wonderful name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. One thing I'm going to tell you is if you don't want the name of Jesus mentioned, do not invite me to do the convocation, because I will mention the name of my Savior, because I believe in whom I believe. Anyway, okay, I think y'all got an earful today of preaching, so I'm going to let you go. We're going to catch y'all next time on the Midwatch, my friends. Y'all be a blessing to someone today. You know, don't always just think that you need the blessings alone. Know that God has a reason for you being out there, and that you need to be a blessing to everyone else. Remember, my address is david@revmedianetwork.com. You can email me at david@revmedianetwork.com just to get any information you want. All right, if you want Wallace's book, email me. I want Wallace's book, and I'll get you one. We only have 3 copies. First 3 emails that we get, we'll get it. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.